changing systems. Let's talk first of all about what is a system. A system is a group of working parts that move together. It's a group of related natural objects and forces. It's a regularly interacting or interdependent group of items forming a unified whole. Now, that would work for you if you were in biology class, chemistry class, or physics. But since we're not in those classes, we're going to work with another working definition. It's an arrangement of set values, ideas, and actions into a process that produces a consistent outcome. Let me say that to you again. A system is the arrangement of a set of values, ideas, actions into a process that produces a consistent outcome. What's the characteristics of systems? First of all, you have to understand that systems do not will themselves into being. They are designed, fashioned, and created. Secondly, the values, ideas, and actions are arranged by and therefore reflective of an authority structure. Somebody sets a system in place. May I say to you that the system under which we are yoked, that's causing us to act the way we act and do the things we do, was designed by somebody that's not your friend. These authority structures and principalities and kingdoms. And you know what a kingdom is. A kingdom is the domain of a king. And a principality, not really fashionable these days because we don't have a lot, but all of us know Prince Rene, who married Grace Kelly. And that means that a principality is the domain of a prince. The Emirates in the Middle East are principalities. Now, remember I said that a system is a set of values, ideas, and actions arranged into a process. So let's talk a little bit about values. Because where we are being beaten in the kingdom of God and in the church of Jesus Christ has to do with our values. First of all, I want you to know that every value is productive and therefore has an outcome attached to it. Can I say that to you again? Every value is productive and therefore has an outcome that is attached to it. The certainty of productivity within a value is what makes it valuable in the first place. If you have gold, it's valuable because gold always increases worth. That's the value of it. And it will always produce worth. So it's a value. The certainty of outcome inherent in a value is called a principle. A principle, when applied, and you've heard me say this before in this house, is that which, when applied, produces the same thing every single time. Guess what's going to happen now? There's a principle that says that everything that's released into the atmosphere with a greater density than air will fall to the ground. That's the principle. Every principle is enforced by laws. The principle that the law that enforces that principle is called gravity, the law of gravity. The arena in which systems are deployed is called a sphere. And when we talk about ministering into spheres, all of us are given a sphere of influence. That is an area that we can effect and affect based on the values that are inherent in all lives and lifestyles. Now, here's a fundamental truth. Number one, there is a kingdom or principality behind every system. Every system that you are involved in and we are conscious of, there's a principality behind it. I'm always amazed when the Bible says the spirit of joy. The spirit of peace and love. There is a spirit. In other words, there is a governing entity. So if there is a kingdom and a principality behind every system, this means that there is a king or a prince behind every system. When God created the world, he created a system which conformed to his authority. In Genesis 1 and 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, if we had time, we could talk about the fact that between Genesis 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 2, there is a gap there. And we know what happened in that gap. Satan got besides himself and he was kicked out, fell down into the universe and created chaos. From Genesis 1 and 2, God created the world or the cosmos. In Genesis 1 and 1, God created the earth. But from verse 2, he begins to create the world. And the earth and the world are two different things. The Bible tells us, for example, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, or the cosmos. The world is a system. That word cosmos means an harmonious arrangement or constitution, order or government. God created a harmonious arrangement. Now, I told you that a system is an arrangement. God created this harmonious arrangement or constitution or order or government. And we know that. And then God set a king on top of that world. His name was Adam. When John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world," he is not talking about mankind. When God talks about the man, human beings, the human family, he calls them man. When God says the world, he's not talking about man. We're talking about man, but when God says the world, he's talking about the system. So when the Bible says, "For God so loved the order," the arrangement that he constituted and intended, he gave his only begotten son. Now that's important, because if I believe that God's talking about loving me, that he gave his only begotten son, understand that we are, when God says the world, it doesn't exclude the human family. It means the human family along with everything in the system. As it's constituted by God. As it's intended to function. God gave his son not just to save the human family, but God is about restoring the arrangement, the constitution, the order, and the government. And so for us, because we believe that God was really just after us, we got an inch of salvation. And we're done. The reason God saved us first is because we were placed at the head of the government. And because God gave us the authority to run the arrangement, the constitution, the government, he had to restore us first and allow us to restore what he had intended. But see, I'm saved and I'm trying to prosper. And the world can go to hell in a handbag. Because I'm a king's kid. And it's true. We just get the king wrong. Now, there are three dominant kingdoms we know in the scripture. We know that there is the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom of God. We know that the kingdom of God, the Bible doesn't discuss God. Now, if I was writing the Bible, I always say, I would start the story with, once upon a time, there was this being, this eternal being, full of love, describe his attributes and said, and then he create. God doesn't do that. God finds no need in explaining himself. He starts the story like this. In the beginning, God. You know, we want to know where you come from. Now, if you send, if they send the Bible to Zondervan or Thomas Nelson, they would say you didn't have the correct character development. So you would have gotten back the manuscript. You English teachers, you know what I'm talking about. But God reveals himself in the context of relationship. Everything we know about God has been revealed to us by God relating to somebody in the human family. There are things that we should know about God that ought to come out of your relationship with God. But the problem is you don't have a relationship with God. I am up here talking to you out of the overflow of a relationship with God. So there's the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom of God, which is, which was, and which shall ever be. And Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That righteousness means on his constitution as he arranged it with its order and its government. That's how we come to God and we say, Lord, I can't do it. Well, I'm not trying to ask you to do you. I'm asking you to do righteousness. All you've got to know is the Constitution. Leave things the way I have arranged them. I put a man and a woman together. Leave it the way I have arranged it. I place the man as the head and the woman at his side. Leave it the way I arranged it. I send my son to be the head of the church and the church to be his bride. He is in charge. He is Lord and King. Leave it the way I have arranged it. But then you see, you have the kingdom of man. The kingdom of man is the kingdom that God, the authority that God gave to man after he created the world. This is also called the kingdoms of this world. We call it a democracy, but God calls the United States of America a kingdom. You say, well, we vote for the president. And the president, you might be right, is the president. But he's not the king. Every nation, we are told in scripture, is governed by a prince. That's why we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this present age. Notice present, because their time is limited. When we refuse to change systems, we are choosing to stay in a system whose time is limited. Then the Bible tells us about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said to repent. Now, before I get to the kingdom of heaven, let me talk about two other kingdoms that are really principalities. One you are familiar with, the kingdom of darkness. Now, the kingdom of darkness, both of these kingdoms are an illusion. Because the kingdom of darkness is declared to be a kingdom, but it does not have a king. It's really a principality. Because the Bible tells us that the one who runs it is the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2:2 says, wherein in time past You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, this verse wasn't written for us. You know, I know that because he says, wherein in times past. Because for us, this is not past tense. We are still walking in accordance with this world. And if a pastor want to have a short tenure, all he has to do is to try to get the world from our hands, the world from our hearts, and the world from our minds. It's a principality. The second principality is the kingdom of self. And this is a deadly one, my brothers and sisters. The kingdom of self. Self-rule is an illusion. Because the kingdom of self is really based on two false premises. Number one is that I am in charge, I am in control. The only person who believes that is a fool. Paul says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Everything you do is being done to serve somebody. Would you tell that to your neighbor? Everything you do is being done to serve somebody. Our lives are governed by the values of one kingdom or the other. You say, well, I made that decision. Yeah. The difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness is that God tells you what he wants you to do. The kingdom of darkness, because it's the kingdom of light. So there's transparency. God says, I am the Lord. Serve me. Be ye holy because I am holy. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is, it's all light. And you don't do righteousness by accident. Oops, I slipped and gave 2,000 in the offering this morning. That happens when you get up from the slot machine. You only know that your money is gone when you put in your debit one last time and nothing happens. That's the kingdom of darkness. There is no full disclosure. I am on the throne of my life. Here is the dilemma that we're facing. This is why we are walking in defeat, because most of us are sitting comfortably on the throne of our own lives all the time, being deceived by darkness that the Lord is in control. When you accept a person as your Lord, when you have come into a kingdom, it means that the king is in charge. He calls the shots and he has placed the system in place. Now, since the fall of man, every one of these kingdoms are run by the prince of the power of the air, except for the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Now, what is the kingdom of heaven? I'm just introducing you to what we're going to be talking about. The kingdom of heaven is the restorative kingdom led by the King Jesus Christ that is currently at work in the earth. Now, to understand it, you have to kind of go back to a vision that Daniel saw. And Daniel had a vision about the kingdoms of this world. And he began to see all the kingdoms of the world that was going to come about and affect the nation of Israel. And Daniel says, the Bible says that, and in the days of these kings, what Daniel saw was a rock being carved out of the mountain that fell and smashed the image that represented the kingdoms of this world. When Adam sinned, the kingdom of this world, or the kingdom of man, was transferred or became subservient to the prince of the power of the air. Understand what that means. Satan had authority in the atmospheric realm, but he did not have authority on the earth. Now understand Genesis 1 and 1. We don't know how long that was. We know they had dinosaurs. But when God came and began to create the world, and people get confused about this because scientists really think that we are really scared of what they discover. Because they think that because God talks about restoring order to the earth meant that God just showed up 6,000 years ago. But what God did is he decided there was men like beings upon the earth. When the chaos happened that destroyed everything upon the earth, there were men-like creatures. If you doubt me, go to the Museum of Natural Sciences. You'll see them. The difference is when God decided to recreate the earth, the Bible says that he created everything after its kind. Whatever God wanted to bring back from before, when the Bible says, and God created the cattle after its kind. What kind? If there wasn't cattle before, how do you bring it back after its kind? God brought back cattle from what was before the destruction. But because he decided to bring man as the person in authority, God said, let us make man not like the Neanderthal, but let us make man not after his own kind. But let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth. Therefore, God did not bring back the dinosaur, because it'd be a little hard for us to handle the T-Rex. They look at T-Rex. Would you behave? No, I will crush him. Well, sorry. You're gone. God gave him the authority. Let them have dominion. Because God is a spirit being. God decided to extend his dominion into the realm of the physical. Somebody asked me why. I said, because he's God. God is God. And here's the thing about God. If God can, God must. Why did God create the physical, even though he's a spiritual being? Because he can. But who to he is God. Because of a conflict that happened before we were born, Satan said to God, when he rebelled, there's a central issue in the universe of which you and I are part. Given choice, given the right to choose, will a man serve God? That's the issue in the universe. That's what the book of Job is about. This is what all this is about. When Satan rebelled, Satan and the angels did not have choice. Satan, the reason we can repent and demons cannot is because we have been given the right to choose. And if you've been given the right to choose, you can choose again. But Satan took upon him something that was not given. And when he took upon him something that was not given, it changed his nature. So he looks at God and says, you know what? Imagine a third of the angel, the heavenly host, went with him. Why? Because he was the worship leader. The son of the morning. Trouble always starts in the priesthood. Among the worshipers, you've got to watch it. Whenever your worship gets corrupt, you are in trouble.
Come on, preacher.
You say, I don't know when my worship is corrupt. Well, you used to sit on the front seat and now you two seats back. What's your worship? But Satan took all of the worshipers. He thought that God would have craved worship and got out. God never moved, Pastor Morris. God just sat in the chair and he said, Mike. Didn't even have to say Michael. He just said Mike. And when he said Mike, warring angels. And I can imagine for eternity, Michael and those boys are acting like they can't deal. Listening to the worshipers. And Satan miscalculated because nobody, Mike and they never had to fight before. Somebody talk to me. They never had to strap their stuff before. Michael had never drawn his sword before. There were no enemies before. But when Satan got up that morning with pride in his heart, God says, sick him. And there was a rumbling, and the Bible says, I saw Lucifer fell as the morning. Because the warring angels never fought before. They didn't know what they could do, but now. But that day, and look at the mercy of God. Look at the mercy of God. He still allowed Satan to appear to make a case for himself. And Satan's case was, given a choice, no one would serve you. You're a tyrant. You like to be in charge because you have these strong angels and whatever. But if you made a being with choice and they really see who you are, they will never serve you. God says, I'll make such a man. I'll make him in my image and in my likeness. And I will demonstrate to you. That's when Satan came with the sons of God and says to God, God says, where have you been? I've been to and fro in the earth. I've been checking them out to see if they will hold to my proposition. God says, have you considered my servant? You understand that God just needed one.
Just one. Come on, preacher. That's good.
That's why the Bible says, I looked for a man, one man. Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him. Oh, he's just like that because you got a hedge around him. You've blessed him. I can't touch. But I tell you what, if you let me have him, he will curse you and die. God says you could go ahead. I ain't scared. You see all the stuff we got going on? Yeah. God is not scared.
Come on, preach out. Say that. That's good, preacher.
That's good, preacher. The Bible says that Satan start taking a part, and yet Job will not move. Let me tell you something. When God has declared you to be righteous, it don't even matter what you say. Some people say, well, Job said the thing that I fear. He wasn't talking like that. What it meant is that Job covered all his bases. Because he said, if just perchance, Job knew that he was righteous. He did not sacrifice for himself. He did it for his children because he walked with God.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, preacher. Say that. That's right. Come on, preacher. That's good, preacher.
God said, there's no one like him. Of all the people that were walking in rebellion, that one man bothered the devil. Folks, you don't have value until you can go through in the face of the enemy. Until you can go through what Satan has to throw at you. When you can still stand and say, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. And he will stand in the last day. I know. Though you slay me. Imagine talking to a being that was right next to God, who had music built into him. Satan did not play music. He was music. Shabranda handa yalabak. He had everything, and he wanted more. And here is this little guy, not even 6 feet tall, say, "Don't you slay me." David said, I'll be a doorkeeper. It don't matter, Lord, as long as I can be with you. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's good, preacher. Yes, sir.
Whenever I can stand in the midst of affliction, you know, and still say, I will serve the Lord. I'm putting value to the preposition that God has made. I will make a being. I will give him choice. I will never violate that choice. So I can never be accused of manipulating his decision. Why? For God so loved order. For God so loved cosmos. In other words, Satan had to be responded to. He advocated a universe of chaos. You don't understand that God's putting up with us because he loves us. Because once one person did what Job would have wrote it off because God had one. The kingdom of heaven is that kingdom that was cut out and crushed the kingdoms of this world. But we're trying to be married to this world that's doomed to be crushed. The Bible says that Jesus is the king of this kingdom. And he is going to bring all things back under the authority of God. And the Bible says when he has done that, he himself is going to be subject. Being translated from one kingdom to the other requires repentance. Whether you are in charge of your life or you are just flat out following the devil, you are in a system from which you must repent. We get confused because the values and the ideas often seem to be present, but kingdoms and systems don't will themselves into being. The issue is the king. It's not your prosperity, it's the king. It's not your testimony. It's the king. It's not how much you know. It's the king. It's not how much you speak in tongues. It's the king. It's not how much you're running on Sunday morning. It's the king. It's not how well you can sing. It's the king. It's not what you drive. It's the king. Repent. That means to change your values, not just your mind. And be not conformed to this world. In other words, this current system. What confuses us is the resemblance of the kingdom that God arranged that is still present in the world. So we're like, okay, I could use the principle of sow and reap, and I can be blessed. Because that still works. But it's the king.
That's it. Oh, come on, preach.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. I'm trying to jump ahead of myself, but folks, the Bible tells us this story. I remember it well. It's one of my favorite. Moses is up on the mountain. He's praying. He's fasting. And he finds God's acting kind of funny. So wait a minute. You look distraught. Them people that you brought out of. They have made a god, and they are worshiping. Moses, come down. There's nothing that'll make a man of God lose his anointing than sheep. He's got in his hands two tablets written by the very fingers of God. He gets so mad, he slams it down and he breaks it. Now, Moses has an anger problem. He does. So he repents, repairs it, and he comes before God. God says, you know, I'm not going with those people. I'm not going with them because if I go with these people, we're not going to make it. Now, that is a lot for God because he don't believe in divorce. But some of you all said this. I got to get up out of here because if I stay, I'm going to kill you. It took a lot for God. Matter of fact, some of you all caught that in court. Now, don't none of you all move out of here and say Bishop Ford said. Now, I'm just using. Well, okay. God says, I'll send an angel with you, but I am not going. Now, this is the difference between God, Moses, and us. If God told me I'd send an angel, I'd say, let's go. There are people who are putting all their hopes on an angel. Because Oprah tells them, it's cool. But Moses said, if you will not go with us, don't take us up from here. If you're not going, I'm not going. Because what makes the difference is that you are with us. Listen to me. If we want to get back to the glory of God, we've got to get back to this. Lord, I don't want an angel. I don't want the blessing. I don't want the fame. I don't want the anointing. I want you. And if you're not going with us, take us up. Because I am not going. There are so many things that are good in the church, but they're not good enough. Yeah, you come in the church every Sunday. It's not good enough. I'm paying my tithes and my offering. It's not good enough. Well, I got T.D. Jakes in my Rolodex. I know that ain't good enough. My time's up. I got to quit. Let me say three things that I need to say so that we could start again tomorrow on this. Number one, one of the things we have to understand, and what I want to talk about, is what is the kingdom of darkness up to? What is it up to? Some of you know I went through, lost my kidneys, went through couple years of dialysis, had a kidney transplant donated by a member of our church. After I had the transplant, seems like everybody in the transplant unit were up and out. Days, my kidneys would not come alive. They finally decided that the next day it was sitting in a pool of fluid, and they were hesitant to go on and test it, to poke something in it, lest it gets infected and it was still good. And so they were giving me this thymoglobin treatment. It's like chemo. It was a mess, and I was there. But one night, I could not breathe. And I slipped out of this world, and I slipped into the underworld. Now, I want you to listen to me, because this is the first open forum, other than my church a little bit, that I'm sharing this, but I think it's important. And I have been released to share it here. But I slipped into the underworld. And when I slipped into the underworld, I found myself in the hordes of hell. And you know, we hear the gates of hell, and we have imagery, but it was really a well-fortified area. And I was in, and around it were these princesses. Beelzebub was there, the prince of Persia, Mammon. All these princesses were in council. And they were talking about the end of time and their strategy. And what they were talking about doing and what my image of the church was and what we were doing did not even relate to each other. And they got to talking about these guys that they called the misguided peacemakers. And I'm a person that's very much involved, interested in politics, interested in our nation, interested in the economy. And they began to talk, this presiding prince, I don't know his name, but he was presiding. I did not see Satan in this council, because he's too smart. Probably, I don't know. But he's explaining to them, and he says, the key to taking over the world is the destruction of the United States of America. He's talking. And he says, the reason, one of the demons says, well, why can't we get this done? And he says, because God raised up the United States of America to protect Israel. And he says, Michael, the archangel, the prince over Israel, has been given commanding authority over the United States of America. And he says, our job is to ensure that the cup of iniquity is full to the point that God will have to withdraw Michael. And he says, the day that that happens, we will destroy that nation in one day. And I'm listening. And somebody says, well, what are we doing in the meantime? And he says, we've had a group that's at work under the spirit of the Antichrist. And we call them the misguided peacemakers. And the reason we call them the misguided peacemakers is because they have the idea that they are making peace, but what they don't understand is that they are creating the atmosphere for sudden destruction. And their images started to come. They were Republicans. They were Democrats. They were people that you would recognize. Some people that I believed in. I was like, oh, no, I know that. Matter of fact, if I call some of the names, you'd march out of here. But I'll tell you what. There was these presidents. Since we picked them, they articulate, they can. Says, well, what about the church? They have been praying. And he says, yeah, that's been a problem, but that prayer has taken mostly in the black, the African-American church in America that has kept that cup going because of their suffering and their pain. The vials of their calling on God is below the throne of God. But we have solved that problem. We have given them the president they want. And he, too, is a misguided peacemaker. And he will do what other people have done. And I'm looking. While he is talking, and he says, it won't be long now. And a messenger comes to him and whisper in his ear. And I am in the underworld. I'm looking at this. I didn't know. I think that I'm gone for, in reality, I was gone for like 4 or 5, close to a week. All the time, they are keeping me alive, and I am in the underworld. And Pastor Morris, the onslaught, the spiritual onslaught against my mind is there's words. I think I know the word, but as I'm trying to use the word against the spiritual attack, I myself is doubting. Some of us live our lives, we won't memorize a single verse. The only thing that you can operate with in the realm of the spirit is the word of God. That's why people are becoming more spiritual, more religious, and more ungodly. Some folks think they're getting a good diet from Oprah's masterclass. Why are you on Oprah? She's one of the most devilish persons we got in this country right now. And ignorant people who don't know the word are being deceived. Yeah, that's right. The people that we love, they are part of a value system. Yeah. And I am fighting, trying to crawl my way out because I need to get out of here because I'm afraid to be discovered. You know, we could be stupid like that. And he comes, now I'm thinking, what I'm trying to remember is what they said about Barack Obama. Now this is, he just got elected. And I don't want to forget, and the enemy's coming against my mind, and I'm trying to hold on to some things for when I come back. And this messenger comes and he says, whisper some things in the presiding prince's ear. And he says to them, he says, and I didn't realize I was seeing the future, but he said to them, he said, the Almighty, the enemy, has commanded Michael to remove his troops from over the United States and go and cover Israel totally. And a roar went up that just shook the place. And he said, make ready for war. And I heard, I saw this nation destroyed in one day. This system that you're counting on is temporary. We have got to change and repent. Change your values. Now, I am fighting in my mind to remember this because I don't know if I'm in the spirit or where. I just know it's the underworld and it's black and I am being attacked on every side. And then I heard the raid, the television. The television was on my in the room where they had me. And I started to hear the television, and they were saying that President Obama, it was 6 months in, had received the Nobel Peace Prize. And I followed the sound from the underworld along the channel and came back up into my body and the TV was on,
uh-oh,
I think that this is happening in the underworld. But it was happening in the underworld and in the world at the same time. And I opened my eyes and there it was on the television that the president had won the Nobel Peace. And people were saying, well, he hadn't done anything. But I knew, I saw it happen. This is what the kingdom of darkness is up to. What is the kingdom of man up to? The kingdom of man is up to the singular goal of creating systems of dependency. I'm sorry. Give me 5 minutes. When we think of this dependency, we think of people on welfare. But that's not everybody. Everybody in this country is being hurdled into dependency. The healthcare system is being changed not to provide better healthcare, but to get everybody into a system that can be controlled.
Come on, preacher, that's real.
Oh, you're shouting for that. The debt system is a system of dependency. It is designed to keep you in debt.
Lord help me. That's it.
Credit cards were invited to keep you from the delayed process of going into debt.
Yeah.
Because if we get you to delay and to pray, you won't use the plastic. The mortgage system is designed. All of these are systems of dependency, and we are engaged in these systems because we are part of the system and we don't even know how to operate without these systems. That's what the kingdom of this world is up to. What I want to talk to you about the next two or three sessions is how do we respond? Because we have to respond with a life that is supernatural. A life of dependence on God. And guess what? Some of us are going to enter into that life by choice. But don't worry, because Satan is going to force it upon us that you are going to have to get into that lifestyle whether you choose to or not, because the world system is going to ask you to make a choice. Supernatural lifestyles. Let's pray together.